Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
May God bless all of you. Tonight we would like to talk about one of the very important subjects for our Christian victory. How many people believe that God wants us to live a victorious life, abundant life, a life that is exceedingly and abundantly blessed? Amen. Amen. How many people believe that? Amen. How many people believe that we have victory already in Christ Jesus? Amen. And we have three enemies in our life. One enemy is on the inside of us, and that is our sinful nature, our own flesh. And the other two enemies can be outside or inside. It depends on how we allow them to come in. One of the enemies that we are fighting and trying to overcome, we call the world system. The world try to influence us by its system. And the third enemy is in the kingdom of darkness. And the head of that group of enemies is Satan, or we call the devil. And the devil has many, many evil spirits working for him to attack, to destroy, and to make us ineffective. He will try every way to make human beings, and including Christians, to suffer, to be ineffective in life. The devil will send this army of evil spirit into all over the world to attack all of us. Amen. So we need to understand how these enemies work. Demons can be inside or can be outside our body, and they can attack us both ways. The Bible says, the thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But the Lord Jesus Christ have come to give us life and give it more abundantly. We are the candidate of having life. If we don't have Jesus, we cannot have life. But because we have Jesus Christ in us, we have the victory. Even though we are a candidate of victory, the devil will continuously, persistently want to attack us and want to destroy us. In this lesson, we're going to learn about the activities of demons or evil spirit. Before we go into each function or each way of demonic attack, I would like to read this scripture first in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. You see, the Bible talk about the course of this world, the way of the world system. Before we become a Christian, we were trained and taught to follow the world system. I give you example. When I was young, I was taught that to be a strong man, I need to wear jeans, having a cigarette on my mouth, and act very pridefully, and look down on other people, and I need to get rich, and I need to have a lot of money to become a strong man. So that is the thinking of the world. Having a lot of money, having beautiful clothes, expensive clothes, have a lot of girls around you, become a very popular man, that is a powerful man. But the Bible says on the opposite way, to be a powerful man is a humble man who serves others. You see, the world system teaches us in a different way from God's system or God's truth. The Bible said that we will once walk according to the system or the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, the world system has been influenced by the prince of the power of the air or Satan. Satan spread and teaches his dark system into the world. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. This scripture talks about these three enemies: the world system, the devil, and the last one I just read, the lust of the flesh. In reality, we as children of Adam and Eve, we have certain portion, a certain degree of evil desires and fleshly motives. The Bible called the lust, or the wrong thinking, the wrong desire. And that is the nature in us, we call sinful nature. All of us who are Adam's offspring are rebels by birth. We rebel against God by birth. We grew up with a rebellious heart. We wanted to do our own things. We wanted to follow our own ways. We have wrong attitudes. We have a rebellious nature in us. That's why sometimes people don't want to accept God, because they know that when they accept God, they have to give up that rebellious attitude, or they have to give up their being on God. Is that right? And you notice that you never have to teach your children to lie. You never have to teach your children to cheat one another or to be selfish. Because selfishness, liar, hatred, evil desire, selfish attitude, all this evil, sinful nature have been in themselves since they were born. You agree with me? That you did not need to teach children to sin. They know how to sin. They know how to be selfish. What is the remedy for the sinful nature? The remedy for the sinful nature is not to cast it out. The remedy or the solution of sinful nature is crucifixion. Die to self. Deny yourself. Death to your own life. And thank God that we don't need to do that by ourselves. We can do it by the help of the Holy Spirit. That is the reason why I love the fire of God. I love the touch of God. Because when the Holy Spirit touches me, He strengthens me, He empowers me to die to myself. I make a decision, but He empowers me to overcome that sinful nature. In order to overcome the sinful nature, you need to deny yourself, deny your own sinful desire. You need to die to self. You need to put your flesh or your evil desire on the cross with Jesus Christ. Amen? And that is the daily thing that will happen to us. I'm still doing that every single day in different areas of my life. And you have to do the same thing. If you discover some evil desire in you, you need to deny it. You need to say no to it. And you need to kill it. Crucify it. Say, I don't want it. Just destroy it. You cannot just expel it from your life. You need to really say no completely to it. But as we have that nature or that enemy inside us, we also have the other enemy we call evil spirit. I want to compare our sinful nature to dead meat or carcasses. Carcasses mean dead body. Have you ever watched cowboy movie? That when a cow or animals die in the desert, you see the dead body there in the desert. And then you will see vultures come in, fly down, and then eat that dead meat on that dead cow. So our sinful nature is like a carcass or dead meat, dead thing in our life. And demons are like a vultures. They walk around on earth. They walk around on earth looking for that sinful nature to come in and to deceive us and pull us into sin. They try to stir us to follow our sinful nature. That's the job of demons. So the more you play with sin, the more you're going to call a bunch of demons into your life. That's why this lesson is very important. If you understand about demonology or the works of demon, I guarantee you will repent very fast. You don't want to play with sin, because sin is like a dead meat that the vultures want to come and eat and play with. Demon want to play with your sin. To get rid of sinful nature, what do? You repent and you die to that sinful nature. You crucified it spiritually on the cross with Jesus Christ. But in order to get rid of demons, you do two things. If they are outside, you resist the devil. You say, no, don't come in. I resist you. But if they are inside you, what do you need to do? You need to expel. You need to cast them out of you. You say, go away right now in the name of Jesus. You cannot be in my body. You cannot be in my soul, in my mind. How do we know that what is happening to us is from demon or from sinful nature? Again, I just mentioned that to get rid of sinful nature is by dying to self. To get rid of demons is by casting them out. Because they are persons. They are real. They are evil spirit. They are not just an abstract. But they are real spirit. They have personalities. They are person, but in the form of the spirit. So you need to expel them out. How do you know that a problem in your life is not caused by sinful nature, but by demons? How do you know? I want to give you some wisdom here, some advice here. For example, if you lie in the past 2 to 3 days, and you come home and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent of my sin. I want to deny this sin, lying. I don't want to do it anymore. I want to crucify this sinful nature in my life. Could you please help me? And the next day you stop lying, then it's your sinful nature. Because you repented and you decided not to do it again. And the Lord will help you. But if it's demon, even though you repent, even though you say, I don't want it, even though you go to care groups, you go to church every Sunday, you worship God, you read the Bible, and you try to stop those things, but that problem will be a recurrent, persistent, disturbing, frustrating problem again and again that you cannot get rid of. That is demonic. For example, you lie in the past 2 or 3 days, and then you come back home and you say, God, I'm sorry, I don't want to lie anymore. The next day you wake up, you go to work, you lie again. You feel something inside you work inside to have fun of lying and cheating and being dishonest. If this habit or this practice, evil practice, keep happening and happening, recurring and recurring, disturbing you, no matter what you do in a Christian way, repentance, reading the Bible, go to church, worshiping God, having a counseling session with your pastor, and it keep recurring, you suspect demonic activity in your life. And you must expel that demon out of you. You understand what I mean? Millions of people in the world are attacked by demons of pornography. They are so addicted to turn on the internet and watch nude pictures and movies. Millions of people in the world are attacked by demons of cigarette, and they could not stop smoking cigarettes. No matter what they try, they can use nicotine patch, they can use all kind of medication, but they could not stop because demon enslaved them to have that kind of desire. There are many forms of demonic activities. The first one called entice. entice, entice. Let me read this scripture. In James chapter 1, verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Listen carefully. In this scripture, talk about two things here. Your own evil desires that want to pull you to do something wrong. But at the same time, there's something outside you or something not in your own nature. Try to entice you. Try to pull you and tempt you to follow your own sinful desire. I'm going to explain to you in a minute here. For example, if you want to catch a rat, what do? You get a cage, a rat trap, and you put a piece of cheese in the trap. So when the rat comes and saw a piece of cheese, he will go in and try to bite, and then the trap will snap on his leg or his mouth, and he get trapped. Is that right? There is a desire in a rat to eat cheese, a piece of cheese. That is a desire. Somebody put that piece of cheese to entice. What does it mean, enticing? It means that an agent who operates in such a way to ensnare or to pull a creature into a trap. So demon will put a piece of cheese in front of you. There are many kinds of cheese. For example, if your weakness or your sinful nature is money, demon can bring in a friend who will talk to you that, oh, Mr. So-and-so, don't get too serious about God. You don't need to go to church on Sunday. You're going to waste your money in the gas. You have to put gas in the car, waste money. Then you come and do business with me on Sunday. You're going to get a lot of money. You're going to be retiring fast. You're going to have a big house. Oh, wonderful. Demons inside you will talk to you too that, oh, good to get a lot of money. Hey, don't go to church. You waste your gas. You waste your money on gasoline. Right now, the gasoline is too expensive. So let's make money instead of wasting money away by driving to church. After a few months, your faith will be gone because you don't go to church anymore. He entices that person by money. You see what I mean? Or maybe the weakness of a person is in the area of sex. So demon may try to pull that person's eye toward a pornographic book in some place. That person is enticed or ensnared to get into that piece of cheese, the pornographic book, like Playboy or something. And when he looks at the book, he get hooked to it and keep going back to it. And he keep getting worse and worse and worse, that habit of looking and reading the pornographic book. Demons have the way to entice you, to pull you into sin. I believe that we all have different weaknesses. We have to be careful. Amen? The way that demons work with you will be different from me, because your weaknesses are different from my weaknesses. Satan has studied your life carefully already. He knows everything about you. Believe me, he sent his army to study you from the day you were born, what you like, what is your weakness, what do you think, what you say. Every time you say something, he records in his book, and he knows right away what you think about that. What is your weakness? He studies about your life in very detail. Okay? And now he sent demons to attack you by enticing you into sin. Thank God that if you are in a good church and you are growing in the Lord, because you listen to good sermon, powerful preaching, you have been touched by God every Sunday in revival, the Holy Spirit touch you. As day go by, years go by, your sinful nature will be less and less, and the devil or demon will have a harder time to entice you as they go by. I have to admit to you that 15 years ago, when I was a young believer, demon can entice me very easily. I fell so many times into sin. But thank God, many years gone by now, it's harder for him. He has a hard time to entice me now because I get stronger. I get less sinful nature in me. I have less and less desire for sinful nature. So I have more and more godly desire in my life. Everyone say entice.
Entice.
That's the first way that the devil try to attack us, or demon try to attack us. The second way that demon try to attack us is deceive. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 to 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 to 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirit. Everyone say deceiving spirits.
Deceiving spirits.
That those are deceiving demons. Okay? And doctrines of demons. Oh, the Bible is very clear. There are doctrines of false teaching of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Demons can come into the church and spread wrong doctrines and wrong teachings into the church, causing believers to be deceived, to misunderstand God, and to have a very ineffective life, like a handicapped person. If you have wrong doctrines, you have wrong understanding of God, your life will not be effective. For example, in a group of so-called believers, but they are not really Christian actually, they were taught by demon that you can become God yourself by having many, many wives. The more wives you have, the more kids you have, you one day when you die, you're going to be a part of God. That is a wrong doctrine. Another wrong doctrine, I give you example, that you can use your own mind to control yourself to heal your sickness. That is a wrong doctrine. Or another wrong doctrine, such as our church is the only right church in the whole world. Other churches are wrong. We are the answer to the world. That is a wrong doctrine. Because churches in many denominations are also the children of God as well. They are not wrong. So we need to honor other churches. Demons can bring in, we call religious doctrine, religions, traditions, causing people to stay away from the Holy Spirit and go into legalism, religious laws, causing people to be in chain of religion again. So don't listen to wrong doctrines. Be careful of what kind of books you read. Be careful of what kind of tape you listen or CD you listen to, because certain teaching are not from God, but they are from demons. I'm very careful when I read books. I don't believe in everything people say. I have to check with the Bible. That's why it's so important to be in a good church, to be in a church that teaches the Bible without compromise, and also follow the Bible with a humble heart and teachable heart. Amen. That's number two. Number one, entice. Number two, deceived. Number three, enslave. Romans chapter 8 verse 15, the Bible says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, enslave bondage. Some demons come and put you into bondage. Again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Paul was speaking about the spirit of bondage or enslavement. In other words, demons will come and put Christian back into slavery again. Before we become a Christian, we were enslaved by sin. Sin control us. After we gave our life to Jesus Christ, we should be set free by the Holy Spirit. But what happened is that demons come into the church and put Christians back into legalism, law, 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 law. I give you example. A group of Christians say like this: if you put makeup on, you put earring, and you wear pants as a woman, you are ungodly. You have to only wear long skirt, short hair, no earring, no makeup. Is that teaching put all the women in bondage? That the woman cannot be beautiful? Yes. I think that is demonic teaching. I don't agree with that kind of teaching. We are free already. Our salvation doesn't depend on how we dress, how we put makeup on. Our salvation is the heart condition of believing in Jesus and having a personal relationship with Christ, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have to be careful not to put demonic bondage into the church again. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." So, be careful. Don't go back into bondage again of religious law or legalism. The devil will try to enslave us into certain area of our life. You become addicted to something. He enslaves you. You cannot get out from it. There's certain people may be addicted to movies, to certain books, to food, to certain kind of behaviors, certain kinds of materials. Some people are enslaved by riches or money. Some people are enslaved by drugs, alcohol, or morphine, or something. He wants to put you back in jail to be a slave again. So we should not be slave to anything except to be a born servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So examine yourself. Do you have anything in your life that you have been enslaved to? Be careful. Amen? Is it sin to be tempted? If you are tempted, are you sinning yet? Jesus was tempted in all points, but he did not sin. Is that correct? If you are tempted to do something, but you did not yield to it, if you do not yield to that temptation, you are not sinning yet. But if you keep yielding and yielding and yielding, eventually what happened? The devil will put you in bondage of that sin. So you have to be careful not to yield to temptation. Look at another activity of demon. Torment. Torturing people. Demons love to torture people. You remember the Bible says, the devil come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Look at this interesting scripture. How many people don't want to be tormented by demons? How many people want to be tormented by the devil? Raise your hand up. No one is alright. Look at the way to protect yourself not to be tormented. Matthew chapter 18, verses 34 and 35. Matthew chapter 18, 34 and 35. "And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." So you can see here that one way that you're going to get into being tormented by a demon is not to forgive somebody else. The Bible says that God forgives us. So if somebody else sinned against us, what should we do? Forgive. God say, "I forgive you, you should forgive others." But if you deny to forgive others, it's a spiritual law in the world, in the universe here, that God will allow the torturers or demons to come and torture you. I give you one example. A lady, she was sick with terminal stage liver cancer. She went to many, many churches, many meetings, get prayed for, get lay hand on, went to see many doctors. Her condition kept getting worse and worse. She was tortured by demon of cancer, liver cancer, demon of liver cancer. Until one day, a minister came and prayed for her and hugged her and cried. And he prophetically spoke to her that God wants to heal you, but you need to forgive God and forgive your husband. In other words, what happened? Her husband left her, followed a young girl. And she was mad at her husband. She was mad at God himself. And she never forgave both of them, both husband and God. She opened herself to be tortured by demons. That day she cried. She forgave her husband and she forgave God. What happened? She was completely healed. Liver cancer went away. Her life was restored. Are you mad at anyone right now? Are you still holding grudges and unforgiveness and bitterness against anyone? I know that we are living in the world that you cannot avoid being hurt by people, being offended by people, disappointed by people. I cannot avoid it either. I don't think you can avoid it. If Jesus Christ was persecuted, rejected, and tortured, and ridiculed, and treated unfairly, I believe that the same thing can happen to us. What do we need to do in order to avoid the torment of demons? We need to make a decision to forgive those people as soon as possible. Amen. This morning, I was talking to my wife, and I mentioned about a group of people that hurt me. And right away, she talked to me, "Honey, make sure that you forgive them and move on and bless them. Don't hold grudges against them at all." She warned me right away at the spot to check my heart that I forgive those people. Can we do that? Should we do that? Should we forgive those who hurt our feeling? The Father will allow demons to torture us if we don't forgive people. That's what the Bible says. One of the ways that demons torment people is to put fear. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." So fear causes torments. There are three kinds of fear. Natural fear. For example, when you go up in a high place and you look down to the ground, you have some kind of fear of falling off that high place. That is a natural fear. There's nothing wrong. That kind of fear is good for you to protect yourself. Is that right? Or when you walk into the room that everyone was sick with coughing and virus infection, you kind of fear of being infected. You walk out. That is a good protective fear. The second kind of fear we call the fear of God. We fear God. We don't want to sin against God. That kind of fear is holy and reverent and beautiful. But I'm talking about the third kind of fear, demonic fear. Some people cannot go anywhere. They're so fearful of being infected by virus out there on the street. Have you ever seen that kind of people? I have. I've seen people who don't want to go out from their house at all because they're so fearful of being infected by something. Some people fear of darkness without any good reason. Some people fear of cancer, fear of being poor. Those kind of demonic fear is tormenting, very tormenting. You cannot be happy if you live in fear all the time. And demons like to attack you with fear. Do you understand now that how the devil work, how demon work? Another kind of tormenting problem is condemnation. When you feel condemned, the demon can come in and make you feel condemned all the time. "I'm not good enough. God doesn't love me. No one care about me. I'm a bad member. I'm not a good member of the church. The pastor doesn't care about me." You feel condemned all the time. That is also very tormenting. Is that right? Another way of tormenting people that the demon like to do is to cause physical sickness, cancer, arthritis, heart attack, diabetes, whatever. Demon can attack us physically and torment us physically. Abdominal pain, irritable bowel syndrome, chronic neck pain, chronic migraine headache. We have a sister in our church. She is from Taiwan. Before she came to our church, she was tormented by demon of headache. Every month, she will have half of the head so painful, excruciating pain, and feel like a knife just stabbed in her eye. And she wanted to pull her hair out because the pain was so bad. And one day, she came to our camp, in summer camp, and I lay hand on her. Demon came out of her that day. Since then, no more headache. That's why I love the fire of God. When the Spirit of God touch you, when the fire of God touch you, not only that, He will help you to get rid of your sinful nature, He will kick demons out of you. He will expel demons out of you. Come out to the prayer line a lot. Get prayed for. Clean up. Get rid of demons out of your life, because you don't know how many hundred of them are in your life right now. Get rid of them by the fire of God as much as you can. Amen? Hallelujah. Torment is another way that demons attack people. Entice, deceive, torment. Another one, compel. You remember a story of a man who was attacked by a legion of demons, that Jesus Christ cast out demons, and those demons went into pigs that ran out of the cliff. That demonized person was driven, the Bible says, was driven out of the village into the tomb area. He was so tormented by the devil, by demons, and he was driven by this demon. Any behavior that are very compulsive are demonic, such as compulsive eating. Have you ever seen people who are very compulsive in eating? Eat, 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 eat all day. Some people are compulsive talking, talker. Talk, 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 talk all the time. Compulsive sleeping, like to sleep a lot. Compulsive lying, lie all the time. I see psychopathic liar. People that lie all the time, lie about everything. That is demonic. I just heard from Pastor Da that there is a TV program talking about a medical doctor who was so addicted to pornography, and he had to watch pornography in the internet every single day. The demon of pornography came into him. He was very compulsive, compelled, driven by demon to watch bad picture in the internet. And eventually, the spirit of lust, the spirit of hatred, and the spirit of murder came in. Demon like to come in as a gang. And eventually, he killed his wife, and he was arrested. So we have to be careful. Don't allow any demon to live in our life, because the more you sin, the more demon gonna come in, one by one. Eventually, you're gonna have hundreds of them, and your life gonna be destroyed. Compulsive behavior is not of God, it's of demon. Another one is defile. The last one, defile. Many people have their mind and conscience defiled by demons. Demons give them suggestions, bad thoughts. For example, demon can give you a suggestion that, oh, cheat the tax of the government. For a few years, you get millions of dollars, you will be rich, and you will be fine. Evil suggestion. Defy your thinking. Or maybe, let's make the number in the book of your company wrong and steal a few million dollars from your company for a few years. Then you're going to get rich fast. That is the wrong suggestion from demon. Not only that, demon can give you evil thoughts. He may give you the thoughts that, oh, the pastor doesn't like you. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't say hi to you on Sunday. So maybe I should leave this church and don't go to church anymore. Make dirty thinking, unbiblical thinking, unrighteous thinking and suggestion in your life. You have to say no to those unbiblical, wrong thinking that demons try to put in your mind. Don't listen to evil suggestions. Amen. These are five things that demons try to destroy our life. Entice, torment, compel or drive, defile, deceived. We need to know the work of the enemy. And we want to fight them. We don't want them to have victory over our life. Amen.
Amen.
So now you understand. Be careful. The best thing you should do is to have a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in reading the Bible. Renew your mind with the truth every day so that evil suggestion cannot destroy you. Listen to the faith-filled sermon. Be around anointed, godly people so that you can receive godly influence. Go out to the prayer line. Get touched by the fire of God on a regular basis, because during the week, demon can come back in because you open the door. In the next lesson, I'm going to teach you that you can open the door for demon to come in. So when you get out to be prayed for and be touched by the fire of God, demon can be kicked out of you and you get cleansed again. I really thank God for revival, for the fire of God. Every Sunday when I lay hand on people, the fire of God passed through me. So I get cleansed at the same time. So it's wonderful. That's why I rarely get sick. I rarely get into trouble. I rarely have demon overcome me. When they try to give me any suggestion, it's so easy for me to say no, because I have been cleansed by the fire of God, by the word of God, being around godly people and love Jesus and have Him in your life all the time. Be filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. Get busy with godly things and don't try to put yourself in the condition that you can sin. Amen. Don't hang out with bad people. Don't be around with bad books. Don't click on the internet. Bad picture. Pornographic picture. Avoid those things because it will open the door for demons to come in. Should we forgive those who have hurt us in the past? Right now, together? So that we will not be tormented by demons? Are there any people in your life that hurt you in the past? Anybody that really caused you to have heartache? Why don't you forgive that person right now? Why don't you close your eyes and say, God, I'm sorry, Lord, that I hold grudges against these people. Father, please help me to forgive them. I bless them indeed, Father. I want to obey your command, Father. That is to forgive the enemies, my enemies who have hurt me. Bless them, Father. I make a decision today to die to my flesh, to crucify my sinful nature on the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I command demons to go out of my life, my home, my care group, come out from my mind. I want to repent. I want to obey God, and I forgive everybody, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, Amen.
Amen.
If you haven't had Jesus Christ in your life, I would like to encourage you to invite Jesus into your life as soon as possible, because you have the chance of having victory against demons. If you don't have Jesus, it's impossible, because the devil is very powerful. He will control you. He will eventually destroy you. He come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ comes. He paid the price on the cross for your sin. He set you free. He has the power of resurrection that can help you to overcome sin and overcome demons in your life. Give your life to Jesus right now. Don't procrastinate. It's very simple. It's very easy. You just make a decision that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. He died to pay for your sin, and He is your Lord. He is your Creator. He created you. Invite Him into your life right now, and He will come in as you invite Him. Why don't we pray together, if you wish, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life. You pray out loud with me. Follow my prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness, Lord. I proclaim with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. He died on the cross to set me free and forgive my sin. Lord Jesus, come into my life right now. Sit on the throne of my life. Give me victory. Give me power to overcome my sin, my evil desire, and get rid of demonic power and influences in my life. Help me to overcome the world system. Give me the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the anointing and the fire of God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Congratulations. Amen. You make the right decision to give your life to Jesus Christ. Look for a good Bible church, Bible teaching church, the church that believe in the Holy Spirit and practice what they teach. May God bless you, and I will see you. I will meet you again in the next teaching session. May God bless all of you.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.